This is the second part of the 1963 address on the subject of love by Clarence Steeves. Students of Christian Science should be obedient to the manual of the Mother Church, the First Church of Christ Scientist, and learn how to defend themselves against aggressive mental suggestion. Let us declare to aggressive mental suggestion, you, malicious animal magnetism, in the guise of thought, you cannot use this concept called me or another to lust with, to fear with, to die with, nor can you discredit Christian Science, its teachings, the office of the Christ. You, malicious animal magnetism, cannot kill this concept through any claim of natural law. This human concept can only be translated with the ideal Christ reality, and then the misconception disappears naturally as darkness gives place to light. This translation carries all back into mind as mind. This is the Christ man constituted of godliness and purity. You, animal magnetism in the guise of religion, calling yourself Roman Catholicism, you cannot damn this concept nor keep it in hell, when heaven is the normal experience of man. You, animal magnetism in the guise of government, called communism, etc., cannot manipulate, control, or brainwash this concept, nor any concept, or interfere with the mental processes called reasoning. You cannot use electricity to impart suggestions to brain cells and have them carry out your diabolical schemes. Man has no brain made up of millions of electrical cells. There is no intelligence in matter, and so-called brain is just so much non-intelligent matter within the skull. Man, divine idea, functions as the presence of the Christ mind. It is mind expressing itself, for mind is God. This Christ treatment here and now absolves man completely and absolutely from every aggressive mental suggestion. This Christ likeness dispels the silly moths whose flimsy and gaudy pretensions singe their own wings. In this Christ light, this understanding translates the concept called me, you, him, her into the ideal man and can say before Abraham was, I am. Nothing then is left to sin, to suffer, to die. The curtain goes up and reveals man of the vast forever, man coexisting, man co-eternal, man coextensive with the infinite God that is all. Man never born, never dying, man the glory and the perfection that is being, giving evidence of its own perfection, freedom and blessing. You, animal magnetism, cannot pull this curtain down upon your screen called human consciousness and show a finite me damned and afraid. You, animal magnetism, cannot argue that there is a physical body calling itself me. You cannot suggest urgency, saying, heal me quickly or I die. Because there is no me here but God. This me is all right, because it is God being the only me there is. It is principle being its own idea, this one universal being, God and man. Nor can you delay healing through the suggestion that this condition is difficult, or that it cannot be healed, or that it is incurable. Christian Science healing is metaphysical, not physical. Christian Science heals divinely. Christian Science heals scientifically, not theologically. Christian healing is the operation of divine principle light before which darkness is seen to be nothing. Christian Science treatment does not create health, but Christian Science treatment removes the fear and the misconception which appear to objectify themselves as false mental pictures or error. From the starting point of divine principle love, there is no fear. This is more important than to know there is no disease. In Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy writes, "If spirit or the power of divine love bear witness to the truth, this is the ultimatum, the scientific way, and healing is instantaneous." On the same page, she says, "Always begin your treatment by allaying the fear of patients. In the presence of the love that is divine, all that fear can do is dissolve. That which seems to have objectified itself is dissolved with it. Then all will conform to the flawless, indestructible spiritual reality. This flawless, functioning presence is the cause of all identity. Man, effect, body, home, business, government, employment. These are all the flawless functioning presence of God love. All is love's immaculate conception, wholly established in its wholeness and completeness. Thus nothing is left but heaven being expressed. It is important to know that there is no fear, because without fear, disease cannot even suggest itself. It is fear that claims to prolong it, that claims to feed it. But when love is seen to be the only life there is, the only mind there is nothing to feed fear. All that is unlawful is fearful. To see that fear is constituted of unlawfulness makes it take on a different meaning. We see then more clearly that it is suggestion, animal magnetism, without presence, without reality. The all-powerful goodness of God is all-inclusive, and man, the effect of God's knowing this, is the all-power and all-presence. Then there is nothing present to fear nor to be afraid. Man is never a condition of fearing. When animal magnetism suggests fear, simply know that it is afraid. It has always been afraid, afraid from its beginning, because from the standpoint of truth or reality, there is no beginning to be afraid, and there is no ending to be afraid. For all is infinite mind and its infinite loving, universal manifestation. Indeed, God is all in all. Sometimes we accept the suggestion that the condition is physical, and this is so subtly malicious that it claims to perpetuate itself through this belief. The suggestion is that the so-called appearance is physical, but it is not physical. It is malicious, vicious animal magnetism. We cannot compromise with this apparent physical belief that it is wholly mental in its maliciousness, because any compromise indicates that we are accepting the suggestion that it is physical, material, and then we are on the level of materia medica. If we are on the level of materia medica, we come under all the doubt and the fear, as well as the so-called incurability. But the Christian scientist must understand the scientific fact that so-called disease is not physical. It is malicious animal magnetism. It has no substance. Only in the presence of the glory of love itself will it disappear into its native nothingness. You sometimes hear it said that mortal mind is having a difficult time with its heart. Mortal mind doesn't have a heart. if it had a heart. It would be kind and gentle and loving. So always know it doesn't have a heart to give it so-called heart trouble. The only heart is the heart of love, the heart of divinity, the heart of kindness, the heart of truth. This is man's present heart, and it is always beating with the rhythm of the universe. Let us see that mortal mind, saying heart, is a liar. It cannot tell the truth about heart, for heart is not a mere muscle. Heart is love. Heart is kindness. Heart is gentleness. So man has the most perfect heart there is, the heart of divinity. It is the Father's heart, and man really is this heart of God, being what heart always is, normal, kind, gentle, perfect in its function, perfect in its action. Mortal mind has no body, because body is infinite. Body is the temple of the living God. So body is your loving, and loving is your body. Then ask yourself, what kind of body do I have? The body of love. Not a body brought about through lust. Not a body that had to be educated, that had to be fed. Body proceeds from principle. It has the blood of innocency, the blood of immaculateness, the blood of infallibility. This is body and this is heart. Love is the liberator, love is the law, love alone is life. Therefore we are not healing physical, material conditions. We are healing the malicious suggestion that there is a so-called mind apart from God, a mind that knows something besides love, a mind that is something besides love. The mind that is God is the mind that is love, and this mind is the mind of man, and man has no mind but God, and therefore man's mind is love. So what is called mortal, human, carnal mind is not mind. It is nothing but evil, hypnotic suggestion. It has no body because it is no body. Then never permit it to say I, because it is not I. We must receive the Holy Ghost. What is the Holy Ghost? Is it not light, illumination? We speak of revelation. What is revelation? It is light, illumination. Could we not say that love means light? For where love is, there is light, glory, illumination. A face aglow with love is always a face aglow with light. So let your light, glory, love so shine that men may see this love, this glory, and glorify the Father, because this glory that cometh from heaven is beyond human countenance, beyond human so-called love. This love, proceeding from and resting upon divine principle, outshines anything unlike itself. A real Christian Science treatment should not be mere words. It should not be argument. It should be simply the living love, the glory, the light from this living love, outshining sin, disease, and death. If you must argue in treatment, be sure it is seen that you are arguing with what you called yourself and not with the patient. The patient is not somebody over there who thinks he has a disease, or that he's unhappy or uncomfortable. There never has been a patient. There is no patient here, over there, anywhere. The patient is evil, hypnotic suggestion, mortal mind, mesmerism. It is neither cause nor effect. There is no patient, no practitioner, no mortal mind to have a private body. God is all, and the allness and oneness of the ever-present God that is love eliminates the possibility that there is a patient. All is God being all. Oh, let this love that is aglow with light outshine what is called objectivity. In your home, in your business, wherever you are, be so unselfed as to let the love that is principle shine right straight through what looks like oneself. This was Jesus' greatest success. He knew that of himself he could do nothing. Mrs. Eddy knew that of herself she could do nothing. It was their ability to unself-self that enabled them to do their great works. In 1 John we read, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." That is to say, now is all there is to be experienced. Don't defile your being by having a yesterday, and don't adulterate your being by accepting the suggestion that tomorrow something might happen better than today. Now infinity is infinite. Now life is eternal. Now mind is all. Now truth is true. Now perfection is identifying itself as man. We live in the now. John wrote, "Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear," that is to personal sense, "now never appears because personal sense cannot live now. Personal sense must live in its dead past, or it must live in its unborn tomorrow. It has no now in which to live. So to it, it does not appear. But to that which knows itself to be the Son of God, love itself, it doth appear now. It doth now appear." To live in this now is to experience the dominion of which Paul spoke to the Romans. "In all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God." Nothing can separate us from the eternal noon. Let us be careful that we do not permit aggressive mental suggestion to rob us of now. Love is always now. Love can only live its nowness. And in the presence of this nowness, there is no accuser. The accuser can only stand in the past to accuse us that something happened out there, or to make us afraid that something will happen in the future. The accuser cannot stand in the presence of now. The red dragon cannot fight with the Gabriel of his presence, because the Gabriel of his presence is the nowness of his ever presence. In the Bible, we have the word now almost 400 times. Now is the day of salvation. Now. Maintain this now. It is so easy to get lost in the yesterday, or to anticipate the forest of tomorrow, but now is eternal noon. Now is man both lovely and lovable. To maintain the now will wipe out the suggestion of delayed healing. There is no matter to be healed. What is called matter is not substance. It is not a condition. Matter is malicious animal magnetism. Matter is mortal error. Matter is not caused to have an effect. Healing cannot be delayed by the suggestion of tomorrow. There is no material condition. It is a pure hypnotic suggestion, and it is handled by picking up the serpent called yesterday by its tail, and by picking up the serpent called tomorrow, and seeing the nothingness of yesterday and tomorrow. We must so live the now of our eternal noon that the nothingness of the suggestion will appear to us in the light of the ever-present now of love. There is only here and now. This Christ understanding makes all conform to the law of perfect action, perfect functioning. Mind is divine and is the only action. Mind is the action here and now. Therefore, mind is not human, limited, finite, fluctuating. Mind is principle. There is coexistence of Father and Son. There is coincidence of principle and idea. Then what is called a tumor cannot exist in coincidence. A tumor cannot exist in oneness. The one fact is here and now. And whatever is present called body must remain perfect, free, harmonious. Whatever is unlike it must get out now and forever. Likewise, what is called heart condition must conform to this knowing. That action is divine, and in this coincidence the only fact is the divine action, perfect and glorious. This redeems the human from whatever is offensive. This concept of body must remain until the ascension. Our textbook says that it was the selfsame Jesus that appeared after the crucifixion. That is, Jesus appeared until the ascension. We must see the utter impossibility of a so-called problem. We must see the infinite possibility of mind's infinite allness. Man is the expression of God's being. Therefore, man is God being love. Then all is God saying, I am. Handle the curse of Roman Catholicism daily, but it must be handled with the love that is principle. When this is done, there is no fear. It must be handled with such a sense of its nothingness that the knowing nullifies even the claim that there is Roman Catholicism. It is only the love that is principle that can really handle this heinous suggestion. Christian Science is the light of ever-present love, and this light leaves no dark shadows of night. When the sunlight comes into the room in the morning, no shadow of night clings to the plants, the furniture, and the like. So it is with the light of the Christ. It leaves no shadow of fear, ignorance, superstition, black magic, etc. Christ leaves only the light of love, outshining any claim of sin or ignorance. Roman Catholicism has no head, because the Godhead is the only head. Roman Catholicism has no pope, because the only pope is the infallibility of the principle that is love. Roman Catholicism has no priest, because the only priest is the spiritualized man. It has no church, because church proceeds from and rests upon principle love, and is founded on truth itself. Romanism has no foundation, because Christ is the foundation of the church. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." He was referring to the rock, the Christ, the truth concerning all. Roman Catholicism has no medium through which it can operate, because its personality is unmasked in Christian Science, and man's individuality is brought to light. Roman Catholicism has no work to accomplish, because all is already accomplished. God is infinitely satisfied with his own universe. There is no miserable sinner for Roman Catholicism to save. Man is saved. Romanism cannot maintain itself on the fear of hell, because Christian Science shows clearly and definitively that heaven is the ever-present fact of being, and man is the heaven of love's presence. Roman Catholicism cannot, through any claim of curse, hypnotic suggestion, or mesmerism, appear on the body as disease, for there is only perfect ease, wholeness, and holiness. It cannot appear as a husband and wife who disagree, for the only husband, the only wife, the only bride, the only bridegroom is the one universal I Am, saying, I am all. Roman Catholicism cannot, through suggestion, appear as dormant understanding, when man is the Christ-like, the understanding of divine mind. It cannot appear as disobedient children who've no interest in spiritual light, nor can it appear to operate through the suggestion of self, because there is no self apart from God. Be alert to the claim that Roman Catholicism can interfere with marriages. Protect your marriage. Protect your marriage by handling Roman Catholicism's curse that we were not married the way Roman Catholicism says it should be done. Handle this. See that your children are not born in sin, but that the only Creator is God, and the only Son is the Son of God. Handle this curse daily to see that what appears as children cannot be cursed, cannot be made mentally deficient. They cannot be made spiritually dull, nor can they be made disobedient. Romanism cannot appear as an unsolvable problem in your experience, nor can it operate through hypnotic suggestion. Christian Science is the operation of the divine principle love, and permits no problem to assert itself. Know that this treatment given from the basis of divine love can only appear as great enlightenment, wisdom, love, refreshment. This treatment cannot be reversed by any suggestion. This treatment is not person to person. This treatment is the Holy Ghost, and it appears at this moment as the light of the world. Romanism cannot appear as doubt or fear to mortally assassinate this treatment or this spiritual knowing. When fear or doubt seems to appear, instantly declare, I know thee for what thou art. Now go back to your father the devil and tell him that you are a liar and the father of your own lies. Thus, Roman Catholicism is seen to be only a corrupt political organization, and not something to fear, and not something to be prayed over. It must be seen for what it is, nothing. It has no organization, no adhesion, it has no cohesion. Be alert to its claim that it can interfere with your metaphysical work. See that it cannot project its delusions. See that its so-called blessings are all worthless and cannot be projected, because of the omnipresence and the omnipotence of divine love. It is the understanding of love's allness, love's indivisibility, love's oneness, that wipes out any claim of a curse. What is called body should appear pure, wholesome, and clean. Understand, we do not fear Roman Catholicism. We know it for what it is, and it cannot dominate. It cannot control. It cannot act as the President of these United States, because the presidency is established by the Constitution, and the President is not a person. The President is not a place. The President is the consciousness, the whole knowing, the combined knowing of the United States, the states united in one and one in all. Therefore, the light of this treatment eliminates and completely obliterates any claim that Roman Catholicism could be a president, or that it could in any way get us into difficulty or bring crisis to us. Roman Catholicism cannot act. It cannot project itself. The president of these United States is really the Christ consciousness, and it is this Christ consciousness that cannot be invaded. It cannot be manipulated. It cannot be made to make an unwise decision. The Christ consciousness, the only consciousness there is principle's own self in operation. This is our president. This is our Congress. This is our Supreme Court. And this is the government of every state in these United States. It is all inclusive. It takes in every country. It takes in every hamlet. It leaves nothing out. It takes the cup of Christ to all. Mrs. Eddy once said that God told Moses to handle the serpent, but Moses said, "There isn't any serpent. Where is the serpent?" Then Mrs. Eddy continued, "Handle it." Aren't some of us, as Moses, saying, "There isn't any serpent"? But God commanded Moses to handle error, and when he had handled it, he could say there wasn't any. Why? Because he had translated it into spiritual reality, making the seeming into the being. Now be certain you see what you handle. You handle it as nothing, then keep it nothing. Handle daily its claim of curse. You handle it by living the love that is light. You handle it completely. You nullify it by love. Therefore, when any suggestion of hate or resentment or fear of uncertainty comes, instantly say to it, "I know you for what you are. Go back from whence you came. You are the devil, the liar, nothing. And the light of ever-present love obliterates you and leaves only the functioning Christ, the light of the world." This is giving the cup of cold water to all. This treatment is scientific knowing. It is the spiritual understanding, the healing power, the power of the word felt. It is love living and knowing. It knows, "I am wonderful," the Father's daily delight. The question is often asked, why are we not healing the cases we should? To this question, Mrs. Eddy replied, "It is because you do not know how to handle animal magnetism." Mrs. Eddy says, the specific term for error or mortal mind is animal magnetism. The specific term for all evil, whether it claims to be personal or impersonal, is animal magnetism. We have a chapter in our textbook that unmasks animal magnetism. It shows that it is not a person, a place, or a thing, but is hypnotism or mesmerism. Hypnotism or mesmerism needs a personal mind through which to operate. So animal magnetism has no basis when it is seen that the I is God and that man has no I but God. Edward Kimball told of a woman who came into his office needing help because she believed she had feathers on her arms. He knew there were no feathers, but the aggressive mental suggestion had her see and feel feathers where there were no feathers. So we do not treat the feathers. We treat the patient for the belief that there is a private ego or mind that can have delusions. It is very important for us to see that there is no personal mind to hypnotize or to be hypnotized. Mind is God, and there is no separation between mind and what mind knows, between mind and what mind sees. Therefore, we must learn how to handle animal magnetism. To handle animal magnetism means, in everyday language, to realize that divine love is all presence and all power, the only activity. To see divine love right where animal magnetism seems to be brings the deflection into proper view. Love is the only presence, the only power, the only mind or life there is. Then we are to look through the mask that animal magnetism presents and see divine love. It is then that we feel the immensity and the ever-presence of love filling all space. What you have called animal magnetism thus vanishes, and all that is left to be experienced is the love that is divine principle. Mary Baker Eddy writes of angels entertained unawares. However, the treatment makes us entertain the angels aware. We find in our leader's message for 1902, a danger besets thy path. A spiritual behest in reversion awaits you. This deflection, rightly viewed, will make every experience a mind experience. Mass mesmerism or malpractice claims to be our experience until we handle animal magnetism from the divine standpoint, and then we have peace because we have disarmed it. We see that if any action is going on at all, the action is God's love action. If it is going on at all, it is mind, love, identifying itself. The substance is love. It then ceases to be delusion or illusion. As Jacob said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Divine love is all in all, and we must make every experience, every situation, every happening declare for God divine love. When we look it straight in the face, we can say to any happening, if you are real, if you are true, then you have the magnificence of love. If you have any action, then it is love action. If you have any life, then it is love life. In other words, make every experience declare God, love, divine principle. Where man is, God is. Then all that is present is God being father, mother, all harmonious. What God is being father to is the son or man. We must not deal with animal magnetism as an entity having identity. When we make every situation reveal love, then the offensive act ceases to be offensive, but becomes loving and kind. The dying man ceases to die because love alone is life. The disease seems to lose its destructive activity, and love is all that is present, saying, I am hale, whole, and hearty. Love then becomes our all in all, and we are lost in the eminence of this one divine presence. In this Christ knowing, every case will be healed, no matter what the claim, no matter what the name or label. Our leader says the use of a lie is that it unwittingly confirms truth. See unity of good. Therefore, animal magnetism must be made to bring forth love or power or presence, spontaneously expressing itself. See that this love is all-penetrating, is all-inclusive, and leaves nothing out. Thus it is present in all its purity to be experienced as conscious identity or man. Love is impartial in its adaptations and bestowals. It is unselfish because it includes all. By making everything declare love because love is all, we find all is infinite love and its infinite manifestation. We find love indeed is all in all. What is called oneself is divine mind expressing its own infinite identification. Not a person with a mind. No, God is infinite mind. Mind has no mind but that of God. There is no personal or private so-called mind. Daniel did not look at the lions and change them into divine ideas. Daniel did not consider himself to be a person. Daniel knew himself to be the functioning of the presence of the love that is God. He knew all that could appear as his experience was love loving. Let the king believe there were ferocious lions. That did not change the basic fact as Daniel saw it. Love was all there is or was to the king, and love is all there is or was to the lions. This is why Daniel could say to the king, O king, live forever, because love is all. Was not this what happened to the boys in the fiery furnace? They made the fire bring forth the presence of love. So in this purifying love, there was no flesh to be dissolved. There was no flesh to be burned. There was nothing carnal to objectify itself. There was simply love experiencing its own loveliness. Is this not what Joseph did? Certainly Joseph had every reason to permit carnality or animal magnetism to seem real. But Joseph saw only the love that is God present to be experienced. Whether he was sold into slavery, imprisoned, or maligned by Potiphar's wife, it was of no importance. He had but one thing to do, and that was to witness the presence of the love that is principal. That is what Jacob finally did also. He saw his brother's face as if it were the face of God, and the evangel said, "Love is all." On the cross Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus, living the Christ, that is witnessing to the love that is God, knew no crucifixion, he knew no death. He didn't rise from the dead, because he had never been born to die. He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Yet this seemed to restore what is called life, but life had never died to be restored. Jesus knew himself to be the principle that is love. Jesus was not a person forgiving persons. Jesus was not a person living the Christ. Jesus lived the Christ, and there was no personal Jesus. There was no Jesus to limit him. There was no Jesus to act or react. There was simply the love that is principle being experienced and identified as the being of all. That is why Jesus could say with such certainty that they may be one, even as we are one. He knew the oneness of all being. He had nothing out there to forgive. He had nothing out there to hate, because he knew the motivating power of life to be love, God. Thus it is that this love must wrap all, embrace all. Put the garment of love upon everything you see or meet or hear. Then we can experience what Mrs. Eddy tells us. Man is the climax of creation, and God is not without an ever-present witness testifying of himself. See no and yes. Man is the climax of love in being. Man is the flood tide of love. Love is divine principle. What about Mary Baker Eddy? Did Mrs. Eddy live as a person telling the truth to the world? Or did she say, "Of myself, I can do nothing"? When Mrs. Eddy asked those in her class if they loved her, they said yes. She said, "No, love and include me, but don't love me." She meant don't love the personal sense. Make what looks like the person bring forth love's presence. She was not fooled by animal magnetism. She knew it and unmasked it. In other words, she unmasked that which was called Mary Baker Eddy. She did not permit Mary Baker Eddy to be the avenue through which God worked, but she saw the nothingness of the flesh. She saw the nothingness of incarnate error. Living the Christ identity, Mrs. Eddy could say to the world, not as Mary Baker Eddy, but as the Christ nature of God, "Follow your leader only so far as she follows Christ." It was this precious leader, Mary Baker Eddy, who was prepared to lay her earthly all on the altar of divine science, and who could write later of Jesus Christ, "To carry out his holy purpose, he must be oblivious of human self." Thus it is with us. We must be oblivious of any personal sense or any personal self that wants to love or be loved. All must see that the love that is principle is present and identifying itself. This love brings comfort. It brings peace. It brings home. It brings companionship. It brings abundance. And it brings food. Never leave it in the appearance. Take it back. Clothe it in love. And see that right here is the love that is God saying, I am. Then one sees that all there is to what is called oneself is I am that I am. Let this love that is impartial, this love that is universal, so flood our homes, our government, that the love that is principle is seen to be all in all. Let us feel this love. Let us feel it permanently, consciously, eternally, infinitely. For this love that is principle leaves no personal ego to say I. It leaves only the I that is principle present to say I am. A group of us were talking about the Bible's story concerning the shepherd who left the 99 and went after the one lost sheep. Someone asked the question, what were the 99 doing? Were they gossiping about the one that had left the fold? The master shepherd went after the one. But what were the 99 doing? The 99 were knowing that one had never been divided into 100 parts. The 99 were knowing that there is no 99, that there is only one indivisible, adorable one, and this one identifying itself multifariously, and that there had never been a lost sheep. This parable is given to us to show us the one always remains one. Make every experience reveal God love, because there can be only God love. Man is what God is loving, what God is being, what God is knowing. Watch carefully on this point, because suggestion would tempt you to believe that there is something operating as your experience besides the mind that is principle. Man has no mind but God. The mind of love is the mind of man. Insist on this in season and out of season. Let nothing else abide with you as mind but this one divine love, filling all space, leaving no room for aught but itself. Only God, infinite love, is all, and this governs, controls, identifies, because it is all. The grandest, safest, wisest way is to make everything reveal the love of God. And then it ceases to be afflictive. It ceases to be frightening, because it is God saying, I am. The action is God. The functioning is God. The movement is God. All is God. Circulation, temperature, everything is God. Pressure is God. Everything concerning the body is God, because it is all going on in mind as mind, and nothing else is present to function, to act, or to be acted upon. This is the law to your experience. It is the law to every happening. Be the law, so that nothing can misinterpret what is going on. Let the divine principle interpret itself. This interpretation is the Father saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The love that is all-penetrating, all-inclusive, this love becomes the love that is you and me. Rest in this, live in it, rejoice in it, make everything reveal God. God is all, declaring himself to be the God of all. This is what I am. This is what I have always been. The delightfulness of my Father, Mother, God. This is the only day there has ever been, the day in which love alone is life.